Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. You may be seated. I love this story because it's the narrative of a successful man, which was at the very top of his career, and now he is at the very bottom. You can have money in the bank. You can be so successful. But one trip to the doctor can change it just like that. And that was his case. He had leprosy. That was the worst disease of the Old Testament. It was the cancer of the Old Testament. There was no known cure for it. And so when the doctor told him that he had leprosy, his life changed immediately. But this story offers such great hope. It offers hope for the hopeless, healing for the sick, reconciliation for the separated, dreams for the disillusioned, future for the terminal, life for the dying, salvation for the lost, joy for sorrow, victory in the valley, help from the hangman, escape from death row. All of that's in this story. How do we make the journey from the depths of doubt to the pinnacles of faith, from the folly of fear to the paradise of power? Anybody can do it. Just any old body can do it. God's no respecter of persons. He will not withhold any good thing from anybody. And faith is a good thing. When you get faith, it will change your life. People that I see that are suicidal and depressed, people that I see that are begging for the scraps from the table, are people that have lost their faith. They simply can't believe that things are going to get better. Of all the things the Lord has given me, with the exception of salvation, the best thing God ever did was make me a person of faith. I am a person of great faith. I look in the past and I say, look what the Lord has done. I survey the present and I say, look what the Lord is doing. And I look to the future and say, look what's coming down the road. It's going to be even better than this. Here's the story. It's a paradigm. It's a pattern. It's a schematic. It's a roadmap. It's a GPS of the journey from hopelessness to faith. Naaman is a dying and miserable Moabite. He is a worshiper of Baal. And suddenly something happens to his life to turn it around. He's about to become, from a Baal worshiper, from a Moabite, he's about to become a living and happy follower of the true and living God. The book of Numbers, God condemns the Moabites for the worship of their false gods and their sexual immorality. They were a terrible people, and that's who he was. It doesn't matter where you start, it's where you finish. It doesn't matter where you came from, it's where you're going. And people in this room, because you've accepted Christ, have charted an amazing destination, an amazing destiny for you. God chastises the Israelites for even marrying the Moabites. And that's who Naaman was. But he's about to be converted. True faith demands a true God. True faith demands a true God. Knowing who God is, it's not just enough to know there is a God. But to know who that God is the secret to success. Happy is the people, the book of Psalms says. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. That's the reason why I'm happy. Paul said, I think myself happy when I think on Christ and what he's done for me and what his plan for me is. It makes me happy. Praise God. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Don't stop there. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. For I am the face of God. I am the mercy of God. I am the goodness of God. I am the revelation of God. I am the person of God. And I've come because I love you. I have come to rescue you as I rescued the one stray sheep. That's what Jesus is saying. Dr. W.A. Criswell, one of the greatest Baptist preachers I've ever heard, pastored for many years the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, and he was legendary. But he said, real conversion is a revelation of who God is. That's what conversion is realizing, getting the revelation of who God is. And he said that revelation is that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're looking at Naaman. It's going to take me a couple sessions, but we're going to take Naaman from the dying Moabite to the praising Jehovah worshiper. His life is dramatically changed. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But you must believe this about God, that God is. Somebody said, well, I believe there's a God. That's a good start. But there's more to this revelation. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I hear people talking all the time against the prosperity message, but everything that's about God is prosperity. He brought you out of the miry clay and put you on the rock to stay. That's prosperity. He took you from hell and he's taking you to heaven. That's prosperity. He gave you joy unspeakable. That's prosperity. The message of the church is to preach and identify the true God. That is the role of the church, is to identify who God is. When Jesus got ready to hand Peter the keys to the kingdom, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter goes through a litany of things that people were saying about Christ. But he said, if I'm going to give you the keys, Peter, you've got to know who I am. Who am I? He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Not Peter. So many people preach that the church is built on the Apostle Peter. No, it was on the revelation. And that God is reconciling the world through his Son, Christ Jesus. That Christ is the Son of God. In fact, he is very God. That's the God that we serve. It's the message that the Apostle Paul preached at Mars Hill to the Athenians. When he came to their religious service, they had altars everywhere to everything. And he said, I surveyed those altars. He said, I survey these. And I come to this conclusion, you people are too superstitious. Let me tell you what, Christianity is not superstitious. It might be in every other religion, but it's not superstitious. It is proof. It is recognizable fact that God was in Christ, that he died for our sins. He sent back his Holy Spirit. And so Paul said, I perceive you're too superstitious. And he said, I see all of these altars, and all of these altars don't mean a thing because they are to false gods. But he said, I see one altar that says to the unknown God, and that's my preaching point. That's all I need, Paul said. And the Bible said, he said to the Stoics, he began to preach to these educated people, and he began to preach Christ, and he preached his death, burial, and resurrection, and they called it a new thing. Ladies and gentlemen, faith must be in God, but you must believe that he's a good God. You must believe that he is a rewarder. Jesus taught that if you knock, he'll open the door. If you ask, you will receive. That's what Jesus taught. Seek and you shall find. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a good God, and that God must be preached. Naaman had never heard of that God. He had only heard about the God Baal, which was a figment of their imagination. But something is about to happen to this man that is in the throes of death. He's about to be converted, and you cannot be converted without faith. That's where all conversion begins and ends, is in your faith, believing that God is real, that God is omniscient, that God is omnipresent, that God is all around me, that God is touched with the feeling of my infirmity, that God numbers the hairs on my head, that God cares about me, that God is able, and that God will perform that which He has promised to me, and His promises are yea and amen, and good things are going to come to me. He's not only is, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and I seek the face of God, and God rewards me every day with grace and mercy and love and joy and peace and food and shelter and cars and friends. Oh, what a God I serve. Step one in Naaman's long trek from faithlessness and fatality to faith. Step one, admit, regardless of who and what we are bankrupt of self-rescue. We are living in a society that likes to talk about self-helps, but the truth is you can't help yourself. You have to lean on the Lord. In fact, the Bible warns about trying to help yourself. He said it's like leaning on a staff, and when you put your weight on the staff, it breaks. It'd be like somebody having a cane that's broken, and you lean on it, and it lets you go to the ground, and that's how you break your hip if you're over 50. But he said, if you lean on your own understanding, it'll break and pierce your hand. The help you need does not come from yourself. It doesn't come from a textbook. It doesn't come from religion. The help you need comes from the Lord. Look up, my help draweth near. Step one, admit, I can't help myself regardless of who I am. I might have $1 million in the bank. I might have a PhD on my wall. I might have great personality. I can have so many things. But the truth is, I'm bankrupt when it comes to being helped. I need God's help. Naaman was a hero. He wasn't just anybody. He was the most popular person in Syria. To the young people, he was a rock star. To the old people, he was a general. To the Republicans, he was a Trump. To the Democrats, he was a Biden. Oh, he was some. I need to find better illustrations there. He was the hero of Syria. Do you know why? Because King Ahab had sent an army against Syria. King Ahab, the king of Israel. And he was going to destroy Syria and wipe them off the face of the map. But Naaman took one bow and one arrow. He pulled it back as far as he could and let the arrow go. And through the troops and beyond the armor, that arrow found a place in Ahab's body. And Ahab began to bleed. And the Bible said he died. And all of Syria rejoiced because Naaman is our hero. But our hero has leprosy now. And he doesn't know what to do. He's slain King Ahab, but he can't slay leprosy. Friend, there are things that you can accomplish, but you cannot save yourself. So number one, recognize I need God to save me. Step two, accept your messenger regardless of their humble station of life. I heard Pastor Jimenez that built the Great Rock Church out in Virginia Beach in the 80s say, I have an eighth grade education, but I'm surrounded by education. It was a great church. It was the first real super charismatic church. See over 3,000. And he said, I have an eighth grade education, but he said, my converts have PhDs and bachelor's and doctorate degrees, and they're business owners and they're politicians, the most influential people on the East Coast. And he said, they listen to me, a guy with an eighth grade education, when I brought them the gospel and changed their life. It's not the power of the messenger, it's the power of the message. And so without hope, nobody can help Naaman, and suddenly a testimony. Oh, the power of a testimony. Chris, you ought to identify with this little woman. How many people have you led to Christ? And that's exactly what this is a picture of right here. A little maiden. She is a prisoner. She has been kidnapped. She is now working as a servant to Naaman's wife. And she said, I would to God my master. In other words, she's talking about Naaman. I would to God that he was in Samaria or he were in Israel, because there's a man there that's a prophet and he knows God. And not only that, I've seen God use him to heal the sick and raise the dead. And Naaman's wife said, are you serious? I'm very serious. And that night, as they lay in bed, Naaman's wife said, honey, are you getting better? He said, no. Have you gone to the doctor? Said the doctor said, don't come back. She said, I've got some news for you. You know our little maid, the little girl that works for us? She said, there's a man in Israel that has power with Almighty God, and he can heal the sick, Naaman. Are you sure? That's what she said. Let's take this testimony to the test. And so the story is very elaborate, but the bottom line, Naaman goes to Israel, and he goes and stops in front of the prophet's house and sends a messenger in and says, the great Naaman's outside, and he has leprosy, and it's been noised abroad that you have the power to talk to God, and God can heal my leprosy. And he thought for sure that the prophet would come bounding out the door. Like if you told me right now, here we go again. If you told me Joe Biden was in the foyer, I'd want to meet him before I left. If you told me Donald Trump was there, I'd want to meet him. Why? It's not the person, it's the office. It's the office. And he held that office of prophet. And so he said, that great prophet is going to want to meet the great general. We're in kind of the same echelon. But I told you last Sunday, Elijah was looking at the great Oprah Winfrey. And he said, I can't miss an episode. He reached over and got him another potato chip and said, tell Naaman, I said, to go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. I'm not going to that church. They don't really care about me. I'm not going to that church. They didn't speak to me. You're going for all the wrong reasons. It doesn't matter whether the prophet comes out and shakes your hand or not. If he's got the word of God that will change your life, save your soul, and heal your body, you better listen. And the Bible said that Naaman was the Bible said he was greatly wroth. I love that. I'm not ever going to lose my temper again. From now on, I'm just going to be greatly wroth. He was greatly wroth. Why, he was disappointed. And disappointment has a way of turning to anger. He said, I thought for sure he'd come out and tell me some great thing. And he was mad, and he was going home to die. But he had great people around him. Naaman had great people around him. Because the people around him said, Naaman, If he'd have told you some great thing, if he'd have come out here and celebrated you and told you some great thing, you would have done it. But because he didn't come out and greet you, and because he didn't tell you some great thing, you're going to keep your leprosy and die? Is that what you're saying, buddy? You better be obedient to what God is saying. Accept your messenger. Step 3, the acquiring of faith demands submission and humility. God hates a proud look. And pride is going to take so many people to eternity without God. We have to humble ourselves. It's the reason why people reject Christ. They just want to be the captain of their own life. But I learned a long time ago, I can't sail this boat. Jesus is my captain. So he acquired submission and humility. And suddenly he said, well, I think I'm going to give it a shot. But let me make some adjustments. Let me explain something to you very clearly. You don't get to adjust God's word. You can't add a preposition or an adverb. It's exact. It's exact. So he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I don't mind the dipping. It's where I'm dipping. I don't mind seven times. But the fact that I have to go to Israel, to the Jordan River. Because if you study it, the Jordan River was much more polluted than the Syrian rivers. And so he said, I don't want to go to the Jordan River. I want to go either to the Abana or the Pharpar River. I took a little time to study that. Do you know what Pharpar means? It means many ways or many divisions. And so when somebody said, well, I believe Christianity is one of the ways, but there are many ways. You are wrong, and unfortunately, you're dead wrong. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am one of many. No, he didn't. He said, I am the way. He is the only revelation of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. You come to Christ or you don't come at all. You believe in God, believe also in me, Christ said. And so he said, I want to go down to Pharpar. One of many ways, but there's not many ways, there's just one. Do you know what Jordan means? Jordan's a little bit different. Jordan means that you're diminished. It means that you go down. It's all about submission. The entire kingdom of God is about submission, except you become as a little child. And I don't mean the kid I saw in the mall last week. That means a child that's under control. We must be controlled by Christ and controlled by his word. And so Naaman is struggling with this. He just wants to change it a little bit. But friend, you cannot change the word of God. God has got a plan. Step four is exact obedience with no substitution. Exact obedience with no substitution. And that's what God wants from all of us. But what did he do? He got mad all over again. Number five, we have to overcome the rage of rejection. When we decide that we don't like God's plan and we get upset, and we're going to reject it, we've got to get that under control or we will lose our salvation. He went away in a rage, the Bible said. He went away in a rage. But finally they reasoned with him. Let me explain to you that salvation is a very simple message. So simple that a wayfaring man can find it. The Apostle Paul said, I'm fearful lest we corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ. Friend, I struggle like the Apostle Paul to keep it as simple as I possibly can. I come to you not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Because anybody can get saved. If you're 6 years old or 96, if you dropped out of grade school, elementary school, or if you've got a PhD, it's just the same. You've got to understand the gospel. The Apostle Paul believed in the gospel so much, he said, if it's preached by a pretender, if it's preached by somebody that's a hypocrite, I don't care. He said, I just rejoice that the gospel is preached because it works and it works every time. You've got to believe that Christ is the Son of God, that all the world lieth in wickedness, but Christ took all of our sins, and he took them to the cross, and he nailed every ordinance against us to that cross. And he said, come unto me and believe that I am he. Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Christ said that. And so every one of us have to repent. We have to do that. And Naaman is struggling with that. But you can see the surges of faith and the flashes of faith. He's beginning to let that faith go. And he finds himself down in the murky waters of the Jordan River. And he goes down one time, and he starts feeling it a little bit. Oh, it's something when you begin to feel the power of God in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, God made it simple. So simple that a wayfaring man can find it. But unfortunately, it's so simple that an intellectual might overlook it. It's very simple. Repent of your sins. Confess with your mouth that Christ is the Son of God and the sacrifice for your sin. Believe on him as the scripture has said, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. That's God's plan. And then follow Christ with your life. And every day the Bible said he's coming for those that are looking for his appearing. Ladies and gentlemen, my faith is not in the president. And my faith is not in the powers of this world. But I'm looking for Christ. In him, Paul preached this to the Athenians in Mars Hill, to that unknown altar. He said, in him, in Christ, I live. In Christ, I have my being. In Christ, I move. Friend, I'm following Paul. I'm following Christ. I live in Christ. I'm looking for his appearing. My confidence is not in a bank account. It's not in the things of this world. It is in Jesus Christ. And friend, I don't know how you can have confidence in somebody you don't know. I know Christ. He has been with me in my infirmity. He has been with me in my sin. He has been with me in my forgiveness. He has been with me in my restoration. He has been with me in my bankruptcy. He has been with me when I was broke. He has been with me when I am lonely. He has been with me in the hospital room when the doctor said he won't live till Monday. He was there. He's never left me and he's never forsaken me. And ladies and gentlemen, that Christ is in this room right now. He's moving from pew to pew and person to person, and he said, love me. It's not a question whether God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. And now Christ comes to you as a hapless suitor, and his question is, lovest thou me, Peter, more than these? And so Christ is at every pew and every person and everybody watching. And he's saying, I love you. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? If you love me, you're going to love my word. You're going to love my people. You're going to love my house. You're going to love my promise. You're going to love my hope. You're going to love my returning. You're going to love the promise that I went away to prepare a place for you. You're going to love the fact that I never leave you and I never forsake you. I'm with you every day and every second of your life. Oh, can you stand on your feet, put your hands up and give God some praise. Hallelujah. I'll try to finish this next Sunday, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are. You can have faith that will save. You can have faith that will reap reward. You can have faith that will change your life. You can have faith that will take you through every storm, that will bring you through every trial. Ladies and gentlemen, I got saved when I was 10 years of age. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 13. I began preaching at 16. But I can tell you what, the greatest God I've ever known is at 74, not at 10. He gets sweeter as the days go by. Hallelujah. I'm close enough now I can see the other shore, and he is with me right now. He's in this room. His presence is all over me. I have no death to fear. If I live another 20 years, it's going to be glorious. But praise God, if I step into eternity tonight, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I ask you, do you know Christ in that measure? If you're in this room right now and you're not saved, run to this altar. If you've never been baptized, you need to come right now. We're living in a generation that says all you need is faith in Christ and you'll be saved. Now, let me explain to you, there is no faith without works. The Bible said faith without works is dead. If you believe, you will receive. If you believe, you will act. If you believe, you will keep his commandments. And Jesus is here today. Do you believe that Christ died for your sins? Have you accepted him as your Savior? If you haven't, run to this altar right now like our brother and say, I want to accept Christ. If you've never been baptized in water, you're being disobedient to Christ himself, which said, believe and be baptized. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you're denying the promise that Christ said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit. If you're going through a trial, you can't do it by yourself. You can't heal yourself of leprosy. You can't heal yourself of cancer. You can't heal yourself of anxiety and fear and drug addiction. Only Christ can break every chain, every chain. And he's in this room. Pastor Becky is singing right now. And I'm here appealing to you that you will become a woman of faith, a man of faith, that you live every day anchored in Christ, walking with Christ. Are there people in this building that have sickness in your body? You need to bring it to Christ. Are there people in this building that have anxieties? Cast your fear on him.